is hope against hope, but I wanted to be more scriptural and called it exactly what it was, but that's pretty much what we'll be talking about. Against hope, believed in hope. We'll write it, and we'll have the word rightly divide there. I just think it's a beautiful thing. I was reading it to my daughter, and then she says, "Wait a minute, can you explain that?" I said, "Thou, come and see." I think the Lord has something for us. I think it's something that resonates, and I know I have, by God's grace, some experience with this in my own personal walk with the Lord, and I've seen Him do this in many characters in the Bible too. So we'll go through a good little tour of the Bible on this scripture on this. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, against hope, Abraham believed in hope. Amen. Amen. Yep. And I have a question for us, for you to answer while we go through these scriptures in the Word. Is, have you been in that situation? Yeah. Right? Where you had to believe in hope, no, against hope. Amen. Right. Amen? Have you had been in that situation where you had to believe, where there was some conflict?
Yes. Amen.
And there was two things pulling against themselves. And you really just had to believe in hope against hope itself.
Amen.
Amen? And I'm thankful for a prophet that can come and shed some light in the difference between these words. And Bible that we have, that we can go through so many places and have that be backed up. Amen? All right, well, praise the Lord. Since you got your Bibles, now we have you seated. It's okay. Romans 4:18, concerning Abraham, right? Who right there would be Abraham? Against hope. That word against means totally contrary to or totally in opposition to, yet believed in hope. That he, Abraham, become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So he had a word on the matter, right?
Yes.
But it didn't stop there. Comma, so shall thy seed be.
Right.
Amen? It's a promise that's living right now. And we'll use two examples here to paint the picture and then have the scriptures go and help us rightly divide hope. What is this hope against hope?
Right,
amen. So works is faith expressed. Brother Branham taught on 65, and that would have been on November 26. He said, listen to this now, who against hope, and he says it again, against hope. See, it took a prophet to see this because he says all hopes was gone. He's using the word hope, but it's telling you that it was a hope that was hopeless, actually. Because against hope, see, all hope was gone. Oh, every time I go to feeling a little blue, here's the chapter I turn to, Romans 4, see?
Amen.
Amen. Now, think about that for a moment, because the Bible says hope. You know, and I tried going some deep into it, and I tried looking at the Strong's the different words to see if it was two different words being used there. The way I read it is not. It's the same word.
Right?
So it takes reading between the lines and, of course, you know, scripture, interpreting scripture to get a glimpse of this. And, of course, the prophet taught on it. Now, think about the Syrophoenician woman. So that's what the question is. Have you been in that position where you have a word and then another word against something? I mean, Jesus was. Right? The devil tempted, isn't it written? But since it is also written.
Amen.
And I think that's what we need the Spirit of God in this day and age, right? To rightly discern, you know, the two spirits,
amen,
pretty much,
right,
that work within the framework, and even of the church, it says. Not even of the world, actually. Let's notice that. So the Syrophoenician woman, I mean, this is the Word Himself telling them a word on the matter. But she caught another word on the matter, too. Amen. And that's what I'm asking is. And now I'll share my testimony. Brother Bannon has a little testimony as well. And many others in the Bible will touch on Abraham as well and Hezekiah. But think about it this way. We have the faith, that, right, that we see, you know, against opposition, if you will, then somebody, you know, believed and so forth.
Right.
But there's also the situations where you have a word in the matter on something here, like you're going to die. And then there's another word over here.
Yeah.
I should not die and I should live.
Right.
And then that's what I'm asking is, have you been in that situation where, like, you you have two words that might seem that they're in opposition to each other. And that might be your test. Because a lot of times that's there in plays, not in trickery, but to prove out your faith, to try it out, to test it, right? My son had a test today, and he was all anxious in the morning. And by God's grace, he gave me a good word with them, and I was there to comfort him. So see, it's not that kind of a test of like, I'm going to give you, put two things in there just to see, and I want to see if you're smarty pants. I don't think that's how it is. And I explained to him, I had encouraged him, and then he says, today's going to be a different day, they say. It's going to be testing all day. They said, I'm going to be in test for a whole hour, like 1 hour. And I said, oh, that's minutes. In fact, you'll live it.
Yeah.
And see, things like that is that you got to see the heart of the matter here. All right? So then we encouraged them. I did something I normally don't do. I went to go be with them in lunch today. All the kids were hovering, it's like, oh, you're Jerry's dad, and so forth. And much with that. And then I went to pick them up again because I promised them. I said, you're going to do good in this test. I'm going to come see you in the middle of the day. I'm going to eat lunch with you, and then I'm going to come pick you up, and then I'm going to let you play in the playground with all the kids after school. So, and he had a blast. And I think sometimes we go through these tests, but just, it's not really to beat us down. I really believe is God's proving out his own word in you, man, and your own faith and your own character development. So the Syrophoenician woman, it says in Mark 7, if you do want to go to this scripture and then the next one, then Isaiah that I'm going to go with, the other ones later are going to go rather quick, so I won't be able to, have you flip through those. But these are worth flipping through. Mark 7. Mm-hmm. I'll start reading slow on Mark 7. That's on verse 26. See, the woman was a Greek, and she was a Syrophoenician by nation. In other words, Gentile, right? And she besought him. So she believed already that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Why did he besought him? Right? And then, but Jesus himself said unto her, but see, when we hear a word, that's where it takes the Spirit of God. You might, sometimes when somebody hears it, they might think that Jesus says no in and of itself. But he said, let the children first. See? So that's what sometimes we are tested on a word against another word, in other words, right? Concerning you, not so much doctrine over there to see who's, has got it all figured out, but I'm talking about concerning your daily walk, right? And the things that are important to you, particularly to the purpose of God's calling in your life. So, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. In other words, let them eat first. For it is not me to take the children's bread, in other words, go out of order, and to cast it into the dogs, the Gentiles, right? See, she didn't have another word on the matter or another faith or believed in hope or something. I mean, she would have just been like, okay, I mean, Jesus said it, right? I mean, what a better way out. I was thinking of when we ministered on the angel, Jacob wrestling the angel of the Lord. I mean, the angel actually, when they were battling, he actually hurt him, right? Here he is trying to work out his salvation in fear and trembling, and he hurts, and he got a mark in his body that he's going to walk different the rest of his life.
Right.
And then he told him, let me go.
Yeah.
You could say, okay, well, if you say so, we're even, I'm over here trying to, work out my birthright, and here you are leaving me a limping prince, hurt forever, something that's going to be, you see? And then he gave him a way out. He says, let me go. But then he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Amen? You've had a word on the matter. Amen? And see, that's what we're talking here. In the next verse in 28 and 29, it says, and that's where we'll stop in this Mark 7, is, and when she answered, but she answered back and said unto him, she didn't say no. She said, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs, I mean, she humbled herself, right? She called herself a Gentile, and she, in other words, she called herself second.
Yeah.
Under the table.
Amen.
They eat second, is what she's saying.
Right.
They eat second of the children's crumbs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see, that's rightly dividing. So I know in my life I had basically one word that says you did that and you'll do that and you'll die. But then I had another word that says, I have a promise for you. I have thoughts, you know, of peace and of hope, and I'll give you an expected end, and many others, of course. And it could be an inward struggle, because you can say that they're both word, right? And that's where you had to, against hope, or even in a circumstance, or even between two good things themselves, a word and another word, you had to really get the thought in the heart of the matter and the spirit of the Lord on the matter. Amen. And we'll see that that's exactly what the word says. Yeah. And he said unto her, for this saying, for this act of faith, for this act of believing in hope. I mean, she was tested. Go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Amen?
Amen.
So I think this proves a battle won of a person, a recipient, a believer. And we'll see later, we'll get a glimpse of what scripture she was referring to that she was standing on. In other words, she said, yes, Lord, but there's another scripture on the matter. And yes, Lord, you're right. It's not meat. They should eat first, but we should eat second. Amen. Hezekiah, think of Hezekiah and Isaiah 38, 1. So I'll let you go to that, because this is the second scripture I said I want to linger on. Isaiah 38, the first verse. And again, when we read this, I read it afresh, and then I realized that when we first think about that, we think as if the Lord said, you're going to die right now. Right. And then that later on he said, no, never mind, you're going to die 15 years from now. But look to see what was actually said to him. And then, or if there was even a time put in. And see, that's when you really got to know where you're standing when it comes to the purpose of the Lord. Now, this is not about a prosperity thing of, you know, I'm going to get 1,001 pink Cadillacs or something like that, right? This is about the purpose of the Lord,
Amen.
The things that matter in our lives. Isaiah 38, first verse, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, right? So he was already dying. I mean, he was sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, this is Isaiah, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. But see, that's all he said. Kind of like over there, she said, let them eat first. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, right? And prayed unto the Lord. And said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. See, man? So again, they both took that under the table disposition, right?
Amen.
And he says, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah again, saying, go back. And say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord. You know how in other places it says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here it says the God of David, thy father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. So he repented. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years.
Amen.
So he still was going to die. But see, he just said, you're going to die. I mean, he was sick unto death already. But the word came and says, you're going to die. Get your house in order. That's what it said first. Get your house in order. You are going to die. But see, the Lord said, I will add unto you 15 years. Amen. And see, I've gone through situations like this where, particularly with death, where you believe that you're at the end of the road and you physically, spiritually and everything, you're done. Like your life is over in many ways. But yet, you find yourself planting seeds for the future, doing work for the future, and then you're even asking yourself, well, why am I even doing this? And I remember asking myself, and this is the scripture that came to mind, is I actually was in a hopeless situation in that manner, if you think of humanly speaking, in my condition. But that's what we'll see what happened to Abraham. Because see, Abraham, Romans 4:18 again, who against hope believed in hope, that he may become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. And we'll see what was spoken. So shall thy seed be. But see what happens. See, he's considered not his own body now dead. So see, that was actually the against the hope, if you really think about it. Because it goes right underneath it. And it says in verse 19, right after that verse we read. So if you do have your scriptures, it's okay that you know you make note of these things. And there it says in 4:19, and being not weak in faith now, he considered not his own body now dead. So that was a struggle there. I mean, being realistic, man, he needed to say, I mean, look, my situation is impossible, right? And we always look at this and we always remember the situation either with the baby or the situation later with Isaac when his faith was tested again. But just apply it to your life, right? Because we have situations that can be dead in our lives, right? It's not always verbatimly the baby. It's anything in our life, any purpose that's, you know, growing old in our life that's not really fulfilled, any our purpose, right? God's purpose in our life. So, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his situation, right? His own body, and it says, and when he was about 100 years old, neither the deathness of the situation of the wife, yep, right? Amen. Yet, it says, neither yet the deathness of Sarah's womb. What's the point here? He didn't consider death, yep, itself. I mean, it was real if you really look at it. I mean, he was against another word that says, you know, every man that, you know, is born here shall die. And he was against that word. But see, if you look at it here, who against hope. But see, it's not that against hope he hoped. Because see, there's a word there that says believed. Right? So that's faith. Amen. As we know, Brother Branham made a distinction between these two. And so it, another way of saying it, it's against hope, or the natural hope that basically said, well, you know, when you're literally counting and you say, well, I mean, yeah, we were going to go do this in life, or I believe the Lord had this ministry for me, or I believe that the Lord showed me a vision that I was be doing this and should doing that. But I mean, I'm really over 50 now. I'm not, but you know, the situation where it's really too late, or that person moved, or this has happened now. There's deathness in me. There's deathness in my wife. There's deathness in the people that needed to carry out the promise, in other words, of any type in this walk. But see, what happened is that natural hope can be okay to start off with if it's aligning towards the things of the Word. And that's what we're going to rightly divide, is that when you're hoping on the things of the Lord and you're waiting patiently and all that, there's a place for that. Now, But hope itself can also be confused, because there's the natural hope. Right. You know, I hope I win the lottery. Right. I hope of this. And see, that's not... See, faith can only believe in God's word. Amen. Hope can hope for things outside of God's word. Right? Right? So that's the hope we're talking about. And that hope can disappoint. Right. Because Brother Branham said that he believed in hope when there was no hope. So that hope right there, that against hope right there, it's really not the highest form of hope. Because he says he believed in hope. In other words, he had faith that he might become. And as we go on to read it, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, that basically means substance faith, knowing that, I mean, persuaded is a good word, but fully persuaded that it says what he had promised the Lord to him, he was able also to perform it. Amen. In other words, he had it before he had it. Romans 4:22, and therefore it was imputed for him for righteousness. Amen. That faith. So we'll see the fourth faith and righteousness here come up here in different places. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. It was imputed for him, but it was for us also, right? To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the death. In other words, this is a situation where you had to, against hope, against death, in other words, you had to believe. Right? This is what's happening here. And that's imputed unto righteousness. Amen? So look at Brother Branham says, believing God in message in 52. And Abraham staggered not at the promise. Listen at this. He was like God. He had a part of God in him, for he believed. Listen, 18th verse. And who against hope believed in hope. Wasn't even any hope for it. Yet he believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall his thy seed be. That's what was spoken. That's what the promise. Believing God. And in the same place he says, don't consider your sickness. Consider what God said about it. Amen. See, but look at his testimony. I haven't actually read this part about his eyes. I mean, I read the many places he testified about his stomach. But I don't recall myself reading this about the eyes. If I had considered mine, in other words, my deafness, my body, my hopelessness, if you will, my against hope part of that scripture, he says, when male brothers told me, you are finished, I'd have been finished, but I didn't consider my body, amen, my situation. I didn't consider my sickness. I didn't consider what they said. I considered what God said. Amen. But when I was blind, I remember this myself, going around here with glasses on, couldn't even get a haircut. And get this, why he couldn't get a haircut, right? Is take off my glasses at the barber and my head shake till I have to sit down. Let him cut, this is what he would say himself, let it cut somebody else's hair for a while and then I'll get back in the barber's chair and try to cut mine. What if I would have considered it? But I didn't consider the blindness, amen, of my eyes when I learned of God.
Amen.
Amen. When the doctor told me one mouthful of solid food would take your life, when I pulled up, my mother is sitting here there as a witness. They was giving me barley water and strained prune juice. I lived on it for a year, nearly, she says. They said, well, one mouthful of solid food will kill him. Amen? And then, let me see if there's another place. I'll pause here on this. I went through something similar in physical illness where when this message came across my path, like I said, I was dying physically, spiritually, and everything. And so this message to me was in a very good season in my life where I needed help. And here I am after the Lord revealed and the message fully and that I was going to be married. And in one place here I am dying, but another place here I am preparing for marriage.
Yeah.
And here I am battling even to the point where every morning, every day, it's a battle just to live, to get up, to survive. But yet I'm planning for a full future.
Yeah.
And I do remember these battles where you're having to, against hope, believe.
Amen.
Amen. You have to believe. And it's a daily thing where my strength at the end of the day was gone at the beginning too.
Mm-hmm.
And I would battle, but yet that God, you know, part in you, that God part of me would believe. And it would literally, sometimes you would just say, who am I kidding, you know, in your flesh, because for split moments, but then I would catch myself resting on faith,
amen,
staggering not. And I said, this is supernatural.
Yeah.
This is a supernatural faith. Another situation where we had children, we were moving on, and the Lord has given us some land. We were going to be building a house, and I was in the house I was living at, And believe it or not, we do get weeds in Arizona too. It's just not grass, but we get weeds. So you gotta either rake the rocks or cut the weeds in part of the season when it rains. When it rains, meaning for 15 minutes it rains. But yeah, they grow. And I remember I was setting the house in order. We were moving. We already had posted for sale, and we were going to go transition to move somewhere and then begin the build. All my strengths were gone. I mean, physically, that had been a long time ago, but I'm talking about emotionally, spiritually. I was dying. I was literally dying again, you know, like when I was going to get married. And then, but yet here I am planning for the future again. Against hope.
Amen.
Against a lot of hope.
Right.
Hopelessness situation. And I remember, I mean, it got to the point where it's crunch time. So here was like midnight, I think it was. And here I am in the back because you have to turn in the house and all that. I mean, cutting my weeds in the middle of the night. That's the only time I had to do it. And I just remember just getting the shovel in the middle of the field and just thinking, I'm about to have a heart attack right now. And yet I believed.
Amen.
I believed that. I said, that was my against hope part.
Right.
I mean, there was really something in the natural that would show me that you're dying, you're sick, like Hezekiah, and you're going to die, and like Abraham, you know, your body was dead. The situation was dead. But yet I had words in the matter. I had words that had to have been fulfilled. And you see, I had word that my child hadn't been born yet and many other things that the Lord had promised. And so, see, I believed supernaturally. God gave me faith to believe in those things against the battle that I had. And see, it was real. I mean, all the symptoms that were battling on me, I was generally sick. I was really sick. And again, just like when getting married, we still just believe God in hope. You see, and here it says, God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. Brother Branham speaking here. Abraham believed God. He never thought of reasonings. See, Brother Branham in some places taught about wisdom versus faith.
Mm-hmm.
He taught about hope versus faith. And he taught about reasoning as well, right, versus faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he divided the word rightly there. So he's talking about reasonings here. See, he never thought about reasonings. So like when that would come, that's when faith would come in. And it says, he never thought of, well, now my mind reasons, but faith believes. Anyhow, faith don't look. Since the Bible said that he, against hope, he believed in hope where there was not even a hope. He still believed anyhow, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And if you haven't got that kind of faith, you're not Abraham's seed, it says. You say, we are Abraham's seed to receive from. And it says, yes, sir. It says, are we Abraham's seed to receive from? Yes, sir. Why? The real seed of Abraham does. You say, well, he was talking about Jews. Oh, no. The Bible said, if we be in Christ, we take on Abraham's seed.
Amen.
And are heirs according to the same promise, to the promise.
Amen.
Amen. You see, wisdom versus faith, against hope, yet he believed in hope. Hope's all gone, yet he believed in it when all hope was done dead to him.
Right.
To him, right? You know, his body. Hope was dead to every scientific research, every resource of wisdom. Hope was gone.
Yep.
But still, he believed in it. What was it? Faith in it.
Amen.
Faith in hope. When hope wasn't there. I like to linger on that a while, he says. Faith in hope. So he believed in hope, right? Faith in hope. When there was no hope there, yet he still believed in hope, see? Because he said, he told me.
Amen.
I think the Syrophoenician woman said, you know, I believe you can heal my daughter. And if it needs to be second, yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll go under the table. It says, do not, and then it says, he told me, so shall thy seed be. Amen?
Yeah.
See, now we're going to get into the rightly dividing here, because you don't want to throw the word hope away now. Now, we know there's a big difference, and it's pretty cutting, but then you also have to know there's plenty of scriptures on the word hope.
Yeah.
And this is what we're going to rightly divide, that, you know, the kind of against hope that we're talking about, and you'll be surprised to find many hope verses that that are in the light of the good side, and but rightly dividing, you know, how that hope that is on the Word of God, it's actually hope is wishing, if you will. Yeah. It's a desire. So in and of itself, you know, it's not bad, but that's why you believe in hope. We'll see here, a trial. Like Abraham that called things which was not. See, that was God that did that. But see, Abraham had the power to, you know, we all do with God's word in the matter. And it says, as though they were hope against hope. He believed God.
Yes.
Amen? See, look at the message of trial, right? And then here's where we're going to start dividing here. So now faith is the substance, but it's not just the substance.
Right.
It's of the things you want. It's of the things you need,
right,
pertaining to the word. Hope for. So it's okay to want your calling in the Lord. It's okay to want your healing. It's okay to want to be able to accomplish. It's a noble thing to be able to have a strong hope, desire to accomplish God's purpose in your life. So, but what faith is when that, when the Spirit of God comes and quickens that word and gives that faith, now it becomes a tangible. Now you got what hope wanted, right? That's why faith is the substance, the material, if you will, the substance, the tangible portion of what you want. So when God's word is quickened on the matter, but it's all, that's how it operates. So it's also the evidence, the proof of the things that you don't see.
Amen.
And you will, we'll see in a little bit, it sounds like a tongue twister where there's like the word hope mentioned like four times in a verse or two. But it's really talking about the hope that you see and the hope that you don't see. And then it says the evidence of things not seen, right?
Yep.
And so by it, the elders obtained a good report.
Amen.
See, it is that faith or that word of God on a matter in a believing heart that can resurrect, if you will, hope itself.
Amen.
Amen? So, sirs, we would see Jesus. Look at this. One of the managers, Dr. Vail and I, and Brother Branham never, usually he would say that he don't like arguing, right? But look at this. He says, and I was arguing for an hour and a half. So I'll try to be shorter than that. But for an hour and a half, it says the other day, he tried to say, hope and faith is the same thing. And I said, no, hope is what you're looking for. And faith is what you got by hoping, though. That's the right. He said, that's right. Certainly, it's not a hope any longer when you got it. It's yours. It's in possession, the evidence, the substance. You got it just as happy as you can be, for it is the substance of the things hoped for. I think that's beautiful there. I think that just goes right along with that verse we read about, I think it's Romans 10:17. Conferences. But you can't bluff it now, right? You've got to really know it, which means believe it.
Amen.
That it is done. See, it has to be a revelation. So there's a lot of difference between hope and faith.
Right.
A hope just hopes for it, and faith knows it's done.
Yes. Amen.
So that's the difference.
Yes.
See, faith believes against hopelessness.
Right.
Amen? So that's really what hope against hope means. It's kind of like a paradox, but it was hope initially that Abraham had, and when he had the word, he was younger in the walk, and whatever it is concerning you, right? He could have just said that you're gonna be, you know, in the song ministry, that you're gonna be helping, or that you're gonna be someone that's just always encouraging people. That's good. That's very special. And when you're living that out, you're living the promise.
Yeah.
Right. The purpose that God has for you.
Man.
So I just want to make sure that you take this home with you, because, you know, a lot of times we see about the Syrophoenician woman or about these are types and shadows of what some believers, they took God as his word, and they had to believe between, I mean, one of them, Jesus himself saying what appeared to be a no.
Right?
And it's hopelessness because in the natural. So see, the human natural And when we get confused with these two words, because now we're going to start getting into where the word hope is used in the Bible in a very good way. But what happens is the human natural hope, like I said, can hope for anything. And it may not be aligned with God's word. Right? So that's the difference. And it runs out. That's why Brother Branham says when there wasn't any hope. So when it says who against hope, it means really against he ran out on his human hope that he ran out of. Which it happens, right? But see, against that, faith was stronger. And God's word came to pass, especially those spoken words that we have concerning our lives. See, the sad thing about hopelessness is that it hinders us from desiring anymore. Amen? So that's human hope. And what I mean by that is, and you don't want to have phony, if you will, faith. That's why I said you can't bluff it. It has to be a time when God shows it. It's not something that you manufacture it. It is just something that God, time releases to his children, right, in due time. Now, Proverbs 13:12, it says, this is just one verse to see that human, if you will, kind of hope. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. See, this is the condition that I've been in before. And it says, but when desire cometh, that means when the faith became the substance and the evidence of the things that I wasn't seeing, it is a tree of life. It is the word of life manifested, really. You being in your place and your position, you being your musician, you being in faithful to your calling, being a closet prayer warrior that nobody even knows about, that the Lord puts people on your heart to pray, and then things happen in the kingdom. And fast and pray and the many different parts of the body to encourage someone with the word of faith and or to be there for help when people need help. And anything that you're doing, it is you're fulfilling God's word. Amen. And that is when that hope, that desire that we have to live out God's walk, it's quickened by faith. Amen. And it's a tree of life. So like I said, Brother Branham taught about these things, hope versus faith, reasoning versus faith, and wisdom versus faith. But see, when you're hoping in his word, in the Bible, I only put, several, but scriptures here, because the Bible, you know, always brings the balance on the matter, right? So it says, so then faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. So this is what happened here. You know, it's always talking about Abraham had a word on the matter. And so therefore, he staggered not against the promise, which was the word. And that's what we're going to see right now, is that when you see the word hope in about the thing of the word of God, what will happen with Abraham is it was referring to his natural hope running out. It was referring to his, how do we know that? Because then it says he did not consider the deathness of his body and the womb, the deathness of the womb of the wife. So in other words, he didn't consider the deathness in the situation. Right? So to me, that's hopelessness. And it's not like what we're going to find here later, where it says, remember thy word. This is very near to me. When God gives you that word, like the certain definition woman had a revelation because he besought him that he would cast out the demon. Yeah. And she believed it. So, and then in Hezekiah, you know, says, remember, Lord, remember how I work with a perfect heart. Yeah. Remember, like there was a relationship there. Right. So remember, Lord. Remember, that's what we prayed. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope, to wait on patiently, right? So see, this hope is the right kind of hope where you wait and you have that desire for or trust for the Lord. Amen? So in Psalm 119:43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. See, it's always the word, and then it says, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Yeah, amen. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live. Remember, it's a situation about death. That's what we're talking about. That other, against hope, this is really against the deathness that wants to hinder our purpose. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Amen. And then the Lord taketh pleasure. So it's not altogether a bad thing when it's rightly placed in them that fear him. And it's also in those, take his pleasure, the Lord, that hope in the things of his word, the kingdom, the mercy. Because look at what it says in Proverbs 14. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. but the righteousness has hope in his death. So there it is. Romans 4:18. He did consider his body now death. It was already the situation in his life, right? I mean, discouragement. Discouragement in and of itself. For whatever it is that God wants us to live out. But the righteous hath hope in his death. Amen. To me, that's kind of what believing and hope looks like. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Remember what Brother Branham says, when I learned of God? He says, you know, he didn't consider that when I learned of God. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, there's the word again, might have hope.
Amen.
It's that desire, right? So see, that's when it becomes a good thing. In Romans 8:23, it says, concerning something really important here to the bride, it says, and now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. See, now we know that we're saved by faith, right? But look what the Scripture says. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Another tongue twister. But what a man seeth, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, it's getting closer to faith now, right? Then we do with patience wait for it. Amen. See, that's rightly dividing there by the Scripture there, the Scripture itself. So it's a matter of just knowing that there will be a time where a word might come against you, or even a brother or something, a situation. I mean, Jesus himself, right, said something that appeared to be a no. But if it's concerning your purpose, if it's concerning that word that you had made me to hope on and wait on, have faith in God. If God quickens that, he can make that live over the of your natural hope or natural longings. And that can only go so far. Amen? So now the God of hope, I mean, look. I mean, he's a God of hope. See, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Accompany, right? That ye may abound in hope to the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See? Amen. We'll be wrapping up here shortly, but see, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith.
Amen.
See, the hope of righteousness is you desiring righteousness, or the righteousness of God. And you see, it's a good thing for you to desire to see your children. It's a good thing for us to desire to see God's righteousness. You know, I was thinking, I believe that the desire of righteousness and of God's righteousness, it just, that's when it's okay to hope in that way. It's okay to wait patiently and to trust. And it's okay to long for that. It's okay to have those desires, and it would never be wrong to have a desire for righteousness. Because it's anything that's a desire, a hope on the word of God, right? And then when that faith, and then you believe in that hope, you believe in that desire that you have. You believe in that. And that's a beautiful thing, because that's what activates your calling that you have. Is you have a desire, but a lot of times, think about it then. If that's the case, if you're called to be a musician, if you're called to do something, if you're called to do a service of some kind, if you're called to do something in the natural, and be in a career or you know, in a role in your vocation and many things, all these callings and your purposes, the desire to do those things, think about how special it is that sometimes we have those desires to do those things, but yet we cannot make them happen. So see, that's when you have to really believe God's word. And it just takes that surrendering. It takes that letting go. Because think about it. It's not a bad thing to desire to do those things, because the callings of the Lord are good, right?
Yeah.
But what hinders us? You see, what hinders us from doing those things? It has to have that quickening power over it. It has to have that believing. It has to have that faith. And it has to be concerning a word to override, right, anything that's against it.
Yeah.
And the way you got to look at these things is there's the faith you have to have now for, you know, for being able to overcome, you know, in situations and troubles and all that. But think about how much more we have to earnestly believe for fulfilling our calling in this life, right, in this earth. Because Abraham had a word, a specific word, and that's the one we had to zealously defend and contend with, right? With the faith, right? With this message that has come and shown us the great light and the great peace and the great rapture message and resurrection message and everything that we have. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Amen. In Colossians 1:27 it says, to whom God would make known, so that's faith or revelation, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Syrophoenician woman, among us, among the Gentiles, right, the Greeks, which is Christ in you, in me and you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
See? Rightly dividing that expectation, amen, that desire, that godly desire, and God is quickening this word.
Yes.
Amen. We are believing in hope.
Absolutely.
We are believing that Christ in us,
yes,
is that expectation of glory, man.
Yes.
And it's becoming a belief. It's becoming a faith.
Yes.
Amen. And that's a mystery, remember?
Yes, it is.
It says, but to whom God will make known.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
We're blessed with the Lord, I think. In little things like this,
amen,
to know that these scriptures that God has spoken are coming alive to do what? To help you be encouraged, to help me be encouraged, and to have faith that against hope, we can fulfill God's purposes in life.
Yes.
We can fulfill the most important thing, which is to live out. There's nothing better than when you're living out God's purpose,
right?
It's good to have a good life. It's good to, you know, have ordered lives and all that, but to complete God's purpose.
Yes. Right.
I remember in college, a professor one time said, back in the when I was doing school, there was a lot of undecision, you know, you can say. There was actually almost what was a degree called undecided, pretty much, because you can go through like the first 2 years and still be what they call undecided.
Yeah.
And you're going to school, so they kind of throw you the basic classes, chemistry, math, and all that, and then you're what they call undecided. But he would just look at you and said, he says, just figure out your purpose. He says, do what makes your heart sing. You know, and I just thought that was a special little saying, and it always stuck with me. He said, do as my dad said. He just says, just do what makes your heart sing. And I could tell teaching would make his heart sing, because he would go and teach it. He gets saliva through all the mouth and everything. He didn't stop. And about chemistry, and I'm thinking, you really got to be called for it. So just, you know, do what makes your heart sing. It's just a happy feeling, right, when we're living out God's promises. 1 Peter 21 says, who by him do believe in God, right? Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead. Again, we're talking about a situation that's dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Amen.
That's believing in hope, like Abraham did. Amen. And in Romans 17 is what I really want to get to. I believe this is the last scripture I have, so we'll start landing here. Romans 1, is this talking about faith revelation? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Yes.
But see, the Syrophoenician woman, to the Jews first. See? She was fulfilling scriptures, even what the Spirit of the Lord was going to write through Paul later. And it says, and also to the Greek.
Yes.
See? It says, for therein is the righteousness now of God. Remember, it says hope and righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Faith is a revelation.
Amen. Right.
Amen. So what Abraham had is he had a revelation on that word that says remember that word. Remember that you had made me to hope on, it said in that Psalm 119. Yep. And then it says that you draw strength from that. You draw courage. That's when you stagger not against, you know, the situations. Because it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Isn't that amazing? Just that, what is the gospel? In here, what it was talking about is that the salvation to everyone that believes. The Jews first. And it says, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God from faith to faith.
Amen.
And it is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Amen. I want to just encourage you that when we're in those situations, when particularly when it deals with something as strong as death, when something seems to want to kill you, right, or kill you from fulfilling God's purpose, I think that's when we really have to be very vigilant about that. Because it'd be better for other things to not be working out in life and than to fail at that one thing. Right, I mean, Abraham had one word. He says, you're going to be the father of many nations. That was his word. The Syrophoenician woman besought him because she believed that her daughter would be delivered from the devil. And Hezekiah, he said, remember thy word. In other words, remember, Lord. And he repented, you know, and he cried unto the Lord, and he wept, it says, sore. And see, the Lord had given him another extension of time, right? And it just, and that's when it says the violent, you know, will grab it by force, the things of the kingdom of heaven, right? I just encourage you that if God has a spoken word against you, if you believe God has called you to do something, I've seen it many times. One of them has been able to share God's word, you know, in ministry. That's something that it was against hope, I'll tell you that much. It is against hope. Because you really cannot reason it. You cannot, by wisdom or by, like I said, Brother Branham said, by any scientific resource or any wisdom resource. It is when you see these promises fulfilled. Amen?
Right.
Just want to encourage you that those hopeless situations in our life, that we really seek the Lord. And what activates that faith is faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word, particularly the spoken word of life, particularly the life of this message imparted to us, particularly the word of God to you concerning your purpose. Amen. So believe in hope against hope. Amen. God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You enjoy that this afternoon?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's just sing that chorus. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes. I hope that's your desire as the word came forth this afternoon, that you were saying yes. I'm identified with that. Amen. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I agree. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes. into it. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Oh, and I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you. Have on my refrigerator, but I'll never forget it. Brother Branham said, God made the heart to be happy. That's a direct verbatim quote. If there's anything that you understand about the heart, he made it to be happy.
Amen.
And the only way you're going to find that true happiness is just say, yes, Lord, yes to your word. Maybe it hurts me. Maybe it kills me. Maybe I'm dying out to something. Maybe I'm rejoicing. But that's what makes us happy in the Lord. Amen. I hope the word tonight has made you happy. It has me, and we just thank the Lord. Do you have anything, Brother Wade? Regular service Sunday. Yes, and Easter Sunday, we'll have communion. And come expecting. You know, the word revealed just brings a resurrection into the heart. It's alive. He lives. And that's what makes us live. And that's so beautiful. Because he lives, we can live also.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Let's just sing that, because he lives. And I'm going to ask Brother Boyd if he'll come and dismiss us with a word of prayer as we sing this. Because he lives. Oh, do you believe it? I can face tomorrow.
Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this evening.
I came expecting, Lord, and you fulfilled my needs tonight. We have so many needs here sometimes, and healing and touch that's needed, but you're always there because your word is the truth, and you're on time every time, Lord. And I pray that I can walk in thy will, which is thy word, and be in the word as I walk throughout my life daily and encourage someone to seek you, Lord, for I want to live the way you want me to live. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Be with us as we go, looking forward to the resurrection. In Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Amen. You're dismissed. Go with God.